You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings. Welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Melon Thomas Benedict. After suffering from a terminal illness in 1982, Melon Thomas died for an hour and a half, and he was monitored, showing no vital signs. Miraculously, he returned to his body with a complete remission of the disease and one of the most inspirational near-death experiences known to date. While on the other side, Melon journeyed through several realms of consciousness and beyond the light at the end of the tunnel. He was shown during his near-death experience in holographic detail Earth's past and a beautiful vision of mankind's future for the next 400 years. He experienced the cosmology of our soul's connection to Mother Earth, Gaia, our role in the universe, and was gifted with access to universal intelligence. He brings back from his near-death experience a message of hope and inspiration for humanity, delivered with a joy and clarity that is refreshing. His depth of feeling and passion for life is a gift to be shared. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Melon. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. good to be on the airwaves with you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I read your story some time ago, and it was just blew me away. Where you went and what you did and what you saw and how things work. And I know that we don't have a lot of time to get into that, so I suggest that people go to your website at www.melon-thomas.com, where your entire story is on your website. So what do you feel is one of the most important messages that you've distilled from your experiences on the other side?
Well, by far, before I died and lived to tell about it, I was thick as a brick. I didn't believe in any kind of spiritual nature at all. And what I did learn on the other side was something that changed my life in a big way. And that's I was shown how to look at everything through the Gaia perspective, G-A-I-A, mm-hmm. to look at the entire Earth and in fact the entire solar system and universe as one living organism.
Oh.
That's highly interactive, and when what that did for me was something amazing. I'll give you a metaphor for that. I was looking at the world like looking at a beautiful painting 1 inch at a time, and I couldn't make any sense of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Gaia perspective gave me the perspective to see the whole painting at once.
Mm.
And so suddenly, you know, when you're only looking at a painting 1 inch at a time, part of it may look like hell, and part of it may look like heaven.
No kidding.
Depending on which part you're focused on, you know.
Right, right. Well, you know, I have to get this out of the way early because there are so many people that I know that are absorbed with various conspiracies and various elements of the dark and the control systems that are in place that are, ruining the food supply and the rest of it. So what you're saying then might be that that is not going to be something that we need to worry about?
Well, you know, life is something you need to always keep an eye on. So is freedom, and you need to be highly interactive with it to stay alive and thrive, of course. But what my talks are about, my workshops are about, is showing people that as things are right now, and I know this will stun people, they'll find it unbelievable, is that as things are right this moment, things are 95% better than they've ever been.
Wow.
And I like to spend time showing this to people in a multimedia way.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Now, isn't that a stretch?
Yeah. Well, yes. A little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe you can fill in a few of the little pieces so that we can access the reality that you're sharing with us.
Well, you know, I think, and forgive me for saying this, but I think especially Americans are spoiled rotten.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
don't even realize what we have. We complain about the things, the little things that we don't get. But, you know, as far as conspiracies, everything in the universe has a conspiracy. It's called gravity. It's called fighting for light in space. Plants do it. The bugs do it. Stars do it. Huh. Everybody does. In fact, I have my own active conspiracy I've been working on for years now. It's called, my conspiracy is called Bringing Heaven to Earth.
Oh, nice. I like that one.
So you know, only if you're, you know, if you're not interested in anything at all, you probably not don't have any view on how you'd like the world to be. And I usually find that the biggest complainers are these people that have that don't participate and have and don't really get the beauty and the situation we're in the world today. You know, for the first time in all the history of the world, technically, starting at around 1975, actually, so, you know, catch up, technically, we're at a place we've never been at before in the entire history of the world, and that is we can technically feed, clothe, comfort, and educate every human on Earth and return this Earth to a garden. And for people to say, oh, there's a conspiracy in the way, or this president's doing that, or this is doing that, you know, I'm afraid that's not big enough. The Gaia program overrides all of this. It's, in fact, beyond intelligence. You know, if you just look at the universe just through the intelligence lens, you're going to miss most of it, just as if you look at the universe through just the spiritual lens, you're going to miss most of it. You have to look at it with the whole rainbow.
Wow.
And to say that any human conspiracy can override universal self-correction.
It's like saying that a grain of sand on the beach can take over the ocean.
Yeah, and you know, the truth is there's always the human species is the youngest species on planet Earth, and we act like children, and you know, some of the children want all the cookies and don't want anybody else to have any, but it doesn't mean we're all going to grow up to be hideous murderers. You know, I don't make light of war. I don't make light of the ecology. We need to be the best stewards we can, and we are certainly at a time in history where war doesn't make any sense at all for any purpose whatsoever, and for any of our leaders to take us to war is a complete failure.
Yeah.
And so the next level of citizenship, the next level of universal citizenship, is called self-initiation. Mm. We actually have to participate. We actually have to hold our leaders that we elect accountable.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time we've held anybody accountable?
Mm.
You know, they
remember.
Promise us a million things to get into office, and then they don't do any of it. No. We need to. That time should be over just about now. You know.
I sure hope so. I'm waiting.
And that's called self-initiation. And so, you know, Wall Street, and you know, now as even Senator John McCain has said in one of his speeches, we have a military-industrial congressional complex.
That's really funny.
You know,
no kidding.
And the other thing, too, is that we're beginning to see the human race is the most graceful species on this planet. And I know that'll shock people, too.
Yeah.
We are so full of grace. It's amazing. Because you personally may not see that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We have created such graceful concepts as charity. How about retirement as a concept? You know, we're the only ones that have retirement in our plan, let alone, you know, and the advance of charity, and in fact, the whole concept of the end of poverty on planet Earth is well established now, and some of the greatest minds on the planet are all actively working on this next phase, and that is the greatest step humanity will ever take is when we step out of this survival world together, and we're technically there. The beautiful news is we can do it. It's not only possible now, it's inevitable.
Well, that is really good news for all of us, you know, that have been holding on for to a thread for a long time now. One of the things that you mentioned is that, that you talk about a pole shift, and I like the way you express this. You said that the pole shift is a shift in consciousness. Would you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Because so many people are also concerned about the various prophecies, which you talk about in your CDs and so on and so forth, as ending.
Yes, that's one of the major lessons I learned when I was with the Light, is that we are coming to the end of the end of the world. Thank God.
The end.
Yeah. And, you know, basically, especially what's happened since the 1850s with fundamentalism religion is that the Bible has been cut and pasted to where it doesn't make any sense and is not relative anymore to reality. Mm. And all the ancient prophecies came, all the ancient prophets and their prophecies were about their own times, and they all came and were true in their times.
Uh-huh.
Armageddon's happened 2,000 years ago.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I'd say be careful of your prophets and your prophecies. Because this is mass consciousness, and you get enough people to believe any one thing, and it stands a pretty good chance of happening. You know, like if everybody believes their world is going to end, well, it just might. But the good news is that most people on planet Earth, I'd say 99% of people on planet Earth, don't buy this at all. Thank God, it's the saving grace of everyone else.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But the ancient legitimate prophecies. Have all come to an end, and they are ending, and they are ending in 2012, 2020, 2040, and the last legitimate prophecy, 2060, is all ending in most of our lifetimes.
Mm.
So if you look at the pattern of life on Earth has withstood everything this entire universe can throw at it, including, you know, Snowball Earth 650 million years ago when the entire Earth froze over and everything died but spirulina.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing is that we survived that. You and I survived that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the amazing things to realize is that of the probably 10 trillion cells in our body, over 7 trillion of them are microbes.
Mm.
That have been alive since the beginning of life on planet Earth.
Mm.
And they're in us. They're most of us. And so we're sort of like Noah's Ark in a way. And our DNA is that way, too.
Wow. Well, and another thing that you mentioned is that each one of us is a... I lost my thread of thought here.
Pull that super string.
Yeah, really. The gist of it is that each of us is like a god in our own universe. That the whole universe has access to all that is.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of my dear friends, Cleve Baxter, who I still know to this day, and going to go down and visit him next week in San Diego. He discovered plants have feelings. Back in
mm-hmm.
the 60s, remember him. But his discovery, which is called primary perception, I was told by the Light to look up this guy, Baxter. And I was told that his discovery of primary perception was one of the most important discoveries humanity will ever make. It's not, the most important, but one of the most important that humanity will ever make. And that is the understanding of how everything in this universe is connected to everything else and communicates simultaneously without time lag. And this also explains how a shaman can talk to a plant and the plant can tell the shaman if it's a medicine plant, you see?
Mm.
And how psychics can talk to pets and how all of nature is speaking to us. It's just that till you get to a certain vibration, you don't hear it.
Right, and with cell phones and televisions and distractions, it's a little bit difficult to get those vibrations, isn't it?
Well, it's true, but we need to control technology in our lives. You know, we're like children, and you got a whole plate full of candy and a whole table full of candy. You're not supposed to eat all the candy at once.
Right.
And technology is the same way. It's candy, and we need to control. No matter how much technology is produced for us, we don't need to consume it all.
Yeah, right.
And we need to control it in our lives, and especially in our living environments. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember when they were just fantasizing about computers, and they kept telling us how much computers were going to set us free, and we'd have all this leisure time. And you may remember this back then. We were all worried about what we were going to do with all this leisure time.
Oh, yeah, right.
They lied to us.
You know, no kidding. You know, when I was born in 1950, when we had a little tiny television set, you know, and that was one of the first TVs. And by now, we were supposed to have flying cars. Well,
I'm waiting for those, too.
Yeah.
But
well, it seems that there's a pent-up evolution that's coming almost like a wave of tech of advancing that's coincidental with our consciousness that is occurring right now that will completely transform our experience and the planet.
Well, only if we bring it in and embody it, because mm-hmm. I think what a lot of spiritual people have forgotten or didn't get in the first place is that the next level of spiritual evolvement is not kissing the face of God. That's mm-hmm. we've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm,
it's what it's the old saying of what happens when you become enlightened. It's chop wood, carry water.
Right, right.
That's when the mundane becomes sacred.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's how heaven becomes earth.
Wow, and we are the channels for that by grounding ourselves into Gaia and with Gaia and working with it. And bringing these higher energies in, we can help bring heaven to earth. Is that, am I grasping that?
Yes, very, very well. The,
okay.
The other aspect to that is that the higher consciousness we all feel we're moving towards and we feel we need requires a higher energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like fossil fuels can't take us any further into the future now.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
the old energy, the old school has brought us as far as it can bring us, but it can't do the next step for us.
And we're kind of being, it seems that from my perspective, that we're being pressed at the very end of this process, almost squeezed, to come to this realization with, you know, the nuclear power plants breaking down and polluting the oceans and the oil things and so on and so forth. They're just not sustainable anymore, and neither is the idea of an infinite growth and hoarding of money and power. So it seems that it's all breaking down right now.
Well, it's a natural evolution. It's very natural for children to grow up. and if you've noticed, the billionaires, from the first billionaire, I think the first billionaire was in his 70s. Bill Gates was one of the youngest billionaires, and now we have the guy with Facebook that's the youngest billionaire in history. We're probably going to see a teenage billionaire next. You know? But this is important because money is becoming spiritualized. It's green energy. It's beautiful green energy. And I was told by the light that one of the main signs to look for, too, is when we see truly enlightened beings entering into the Fortune 500.
Oh, that would be nice.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, it would be wonderful. Well, I'll be watching for that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but no.
Well, it's happening right before our eyes. You know?
Yeah, you're right. You're
and
right.
One of the beautiful things about the guy that started Facebook is he invested in the Tesla car company gigantically.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Bill Gates could start a electric car company, which is, you know, electric cars are the fastest thing we can do to improve the environment right now.
Yeah.
They've been proven they work. People want them. But, you know, Bill Gates, I say, you know, email these people. Bill Gates could afford to start an electric car company. So could the Dalai Lama, who has vast wealth and investments.
Oh.
So could the Pope, who has vast
vast
wealth and investments. Why aren't these groups doing this?
Good question.
Email them. Ask them.
Yeah, good. That's very good. Maybe they're starting a movement here tonight. It's about time for them to loosen up the coffers and you know, take care of the rest of humanity, because we are all interconnected. We are all one.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do to another person, we're doing to ourselves.
And, you know, the beautiful yin-yang of that is that they could become even more wealthy and do even more great projects.
Right,
you
right.
Know, just, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the, you know, the Catholic Church audits gets audited every once in a while, and they discovered they owned a birth control pill company.
Oh.
And they don't even know what they were investing in.
They probably don't even know how much they have.
You know, but those, you know, that's the old way.
Right.
And
right.
And so everything is totally possible. If you saw the movie Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yes, I did.
Well, you've got Mel Gibson, the movie star, who's a billionaire, crying about they took his electric car away. Well, Mel, start an electric car company.
Well, he also did conspiracy theory, too.
Yeah. And
so he should be putting his money where his mouth is.
So it's interesting that all this potential is here.
Yeah.
It's here for the first time. It may not have been here 100 years ago, 300 years ago. It certainly wasn't here 1,000 years ago, but it's here now, which is beautiful.
Yeah, wonderful. One of the things that you said, you talked about, and you do talk about in your CDs and on your experience, you talk about the higher self matrix and how our higher selves are all, you'll say it better than I can remember, but that they're encircling the globe and they're all interconnected. So is it like we're kind of like the puppets down here on Earth that are kind of dancing to the higher selves that are all communicating and we're just saying our lines?
Absolutely not. No way, shape, or form.
Oh, okay. All right.
As it turns out, there's only one higher self for the entire planet.
Oh.
Every living thing, every rock, every living thing, every leaf on every tree is all the same being.
Oh.
And so that light at the end of the tunnel near Deathers talk about is that higher self matrix that we all go to.
Uh-huh.
And it's very important, as we go to that light, people have life reviews, but that life review is the only judgment you're ever going to get because it's the most critical judgment, it's self-judgment. Believe me, when you're there, you'll get it.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing is, every time you've died and reincarnated, as you've had that life review, you've downloaded your entire experience into that oversoul matrix, and then every one of us that passed through that is even more enlightened. Lightened by all the experience. So the experience is cumulative, and it's this collective consciousness is adding up to something fantastic.
Wow. That sounds encouraging. I like that. I was also surprised, speaking of this, that you actually stopped your near-death experience. You halted it when you were going towards the light and said, wait a minute. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, before I had my experience until several years afterwards, I had never heard the word near death in my life. I never even heard the word hospice till I ended up in one. That's pretty thick. And it was only when I went to a lecture by Phyllis Atwater, PMH Atwater, the famous writer on the near death subject and research. Mm-hmm. When I saw her lecture and met her, I said, I think that happened to me. And she and I have been friends ever since. She introduced me then to Dr. Ken Ring, who studied over 10,000 or more cases. And they were surprised. Of course, I hadn't met any other near-deathers at that time. Mm. They were surprised that at one point in my experience when I was with the light, I asked the light to stop, and I realized this was an interactive experience.
Mm.
And the light agreed with me. what we call the death or rebirth experience is just as interactive as the life you're living right now. And as far as they know, I'm the first that did that. But but somebody had to do it sooner or later. You know.
Wow. Yeah. Right. Right. Wake up and realize. Well, wait a minute.
And the light was. The light is the most gracious thing in the world, our oversoul matrix, because, when I said, hold on a minute here, can we talk about this? Light said, sure, what you got? And I had a lot of questions, believe me. I had a lot of questions to ask.
I bet. I wish we had a recording of that conversation.
I think we'll probably figure out some sort of technology sooner or later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, take your webcam with you or something. I don't know.
Really? It's a little cameras.
Yeah.
Well, so you went also beyond the universe and into the void as well. So there are... I remember you talking about the soft booms, which are what, like organic divisions between the universes, or what? Maybe
yeah,
you can...
it's like crossing the sound barrier, things like that.
Okay.
But once I'd asked all my questions, and all my questions had been answered to my total understanding. I mean, my questions, not your questions. We all have different set of questions.
Right.
Then I asked the universe to pull the veil. I wanted to see, what else was out there, and I went on a fantastic a trip. Seems like it took a second now, but I'll probably take me the rest of my life to tell you the whole story.
Wow.
But in that experience, I learned that there, and I was saying this long before scientists were saying it, that I learned there was more than one Big Bang. In fact, the Big Bang is sort of a bad word for this. You know, the Big Bang word came from the only guy that didn't believe it. He was putting it down, and they used his word. But there's more than one universe. It's infinite, and there was there's been many what we call Big Bangs and ongoing. And in fact, we're just beginning to maybe even be able to grapple with the concept of no beginning and no end.
Wow.
And so, and I checked. Not even God knows where this began. And there's no end. It's,
wow.
It's this incredible continuum. So. So in the void, and it took me, you know, it took me a long time to assimilate my experience afterwards. But the, you know, there are these great voids between things. Mm-hmm. It's like it's interesting because in every atom there's a, you know, there's a nucleus, and then there's electrons and things orbiting those atoms. There's more space between the core of that atom and the outer orbit of the electrons per se. Mm-hmm. Than from here to Jupiter, and so you can go into these voids, and the voids are absolutely devoid of experience. And that was interesting, and you know, I tell people to this day I have no words for that because there are no words for it. The yogis have tried to explain that to us. You know,
yeah.
There are no words for some of these things.
Oh yeah, some of the Buddhists, I believe. Their highest aspiration is to enter the void.
Well, it's easy, but it's like nothing. If you want
to, I think it'd be kind of boring after a while, wouldn't it?
You know, that's I heard something that I really like, and it was why is Earth one of the most popular incarnational destinations for you to come to? Have you heard that one?
No. What?
That's because that you incarnate here when you need a vacation from eternal bliss.
Oh,
you're not going to get it here. You can have all that you want, but you're going to get bored with it.
Yeah, really, no kidding. Oh my goodness. Well, now you also saw many other civilizations, and lots of my guests talk about various what do they call them? ET civilizations. Anyway, my mind seems to be blanking out tonight. I'm vast gaps in my data banks.
But, are you in the void?
Yeah, I think I'm in the void. But you also saw other civilizations, and we're surrounded with life, aren't we? I mean, to think that we're just this little globe and we're it is just the height of hubris, isn't it?
Yes, it really is, but what's interesting about all life in the universe, which I found fascinating, is that life as we know it, that we can communicate with, is fairly rare. I mean, you know, just in our galaxy, there may be 10 billion of us, 10 billion planets like us, but life in general, there's life way ahead of us, life way below us, but life in general, most of the life in the entire universe is microbial. By far. Just like most of life on Earth is microbial, most of the cells in your body is microbial. So we might look at this microbial intelligence that's at the base of everything and look at it a little differently. You know, Cleve Baxter could communicate with bacteria, and you read his work, and you can learn to do this. Bacteria turns out are very intelligent. And if they're 7 trillion of our 10 trillion cells, you know they control our hormones. We have sweet tooth. There's so much that these microbes and their consciousness affects our lives every day. But with our primitive understanding of what life is, we think life is us. Period.
Right.
You know, when it's really a lot more, it's more dynamic than that.
Yeah. Do you think we'll learn how to communicate in terms of disease with our bodies and communicate with ourselves and even down to the bacterial level at some point?
Well, we've been doing this since ancient times. I mean, the shamans have done it. There's great examples of this all around us everywhere. Cleve Baxter did it scientifically to prove, I guess, that it could be done on that level too. But shamans have known this. Great masters have known these things. And there's great intelligence in everything. You know, after I used to think the world was a really stupid place, but after my near-death experience, I always assume that someone is super intelligent, unless proven otherwise.
Now, one thing that I think a lot of people don't understand very clearly is that there is a record. Everything that we do is recorded in a holographic kind of way, isn't it? So that it can be. There is no escaping from everything. In other words, we think that we're just doing things. We're throwing bones over our shoulders, but in reality, everything is recorded, isn't it?
Every single moment, many names for it, the Book of Life, the Akashic Records.
Yeah.
It's recorded locally in our higher self matrix on the planet, and then that is connected to, say, galactic Gaia, and then there's universal Gaia, and it's all connected.
Wow. So yeah. if we begin to think of our lives in terms of kind of being naked, and everything that we do, think, and feel is out there in the universe and for everybody to see, it kind of changes the way we might behave if we actually understood that deeply enough, I would think, yes?
Yes, it's true. Up till now, most of our intelligence, and in fact, most intelligence of nature at this point, has been based on hindsight experience, in other words. Learning from experience, you know, making mistakes and correcting. The new intelligence coming in, and we're just about ready for it, is called foresight.
Mm.
And boy, does that speed up everything very beautifully, and it sort of begins the end of karma. Because we're all getting to a level right now where we're starting to realize there is that ideal self within us, there is that higher self matrix within us. And we tap into that, we tap into universal intelligence. And our own higher self matrix evolved enough to tap into that around 2,500 years ago.
Wow.
And that's why humanity peaked spiritually over 2,500 years ago. We've already peaked spiritually.
Oh.
And it just takes a little while for it to settle in. Because over 2,500 years ago, concepts and gods changed dramatically, if you'll just look at just our own history.
Uh-huh.
But thoughts like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, came into being.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's accessing universal consciousness.
And just
that one alone, you don't need 10 commandments.
Right, right.
You know, because that includes looking at nature and looking at everything around you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've had since then is, you know, state religions and everybody saying, my God's better than your God, and my God's blue and your God's green, and, you know, just, you know, children playing with God concepts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I sure do hope that we're at a point where we're getting ready to drop that and grow up a little bit.
Well, we are. We're getting there. And the light has always told me that religious fundamentalism will be the last barrier to us being free.
Mm.
And, in fact, religious fundamentalism is more dangerous than nuclear proliferation.
Mm, well, I would agree with you on that.
And it's really... That's keeping us from the next step, which the next greatest step in all of human evolution is transcending survival to get the end of poverty on planet Earth. Because once we get out of survival, you become that new creation. Because from day one, from our microbial beginnings to the present moment, we have been caught up in survival.
Mm-hmm.
But we're technically at a point now where we can end that and begin this new creation. Think about, and I encourage people in my workshops to think about, what if you didn't have to work for a living? What if you didn't have to worry about the rent or food, which is all technically possible and is definitely in our future?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with your life? Start thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the universe isn't saying everybody has to do great things, but you've been given a life to make of it what you will. What would you make of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and especially given that so many people are feel as if or have told themselves that they're stuck in jobs that they don't like with people that they can't stand, because they have to survive, and sometimes they have two and three jobs. So that doesn't seem to be a positive experience or a harmonic one.
Well, it was it was a necessary one because I got to see and look into the mass potential of our future. And you really can't see specific dates or events because it doesn't work that way. That's why all these prophets and people are always wrong. In fact, if they get one thing right, it's a career for them. But I was shown that the people of the future look back at us now, us, the people of the Industrial Revolution, as the giants of all of history.
Really?
Absolutely. They are just so amazed at what we were able to accomplish in such a short time that set all of mankind and all of our future free.
Wow.
And it's true. Most of the jobs out there now are don't seem to have much meaning in them. And our education system is still set up on the Industrial Revolution system, which is bringing, you know, people off the farms and teaching them to read and operate machines. And then our education system is still that way because we're really just being trained to be consumers and producers.
Right.
We're not really being trained, for the most part, to be superior human beings and self-generating, self-correcting, self-organizing, and self-initiating human beings. That's what's next. And we have the inklings of that all around us with Montessori and all kinds of new education systems. But the people of the future just love us. I mean, we don't see it right now, just like George Washington had no idea what would become. You know, most people didn't join him in that revolution.
Yeah.
they kind of sat back and say, oh, we'll see what's going to happen. George is going to get his head chopped off. But we also tend to look at ourselves now as these ugly caterpillars that are trying to eat every leaf on every tree.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that within us we're going into this chrysalis now, and we are about to become butterflies.
Ah. Now, that implies a moment of transformation.
Well, a process of transformation.
A process of transformation.
Of course, there is only one moment of now, but that moment sometimes can you know, seems like it takes a while.
Yeah, it sure does. is that an eternity?
Yeah. 1 second or eternity, it's the same.
Really? So how does 2012 play into this process of getting our wings?
Well, the it does in a way. You know, one of my most popular talks I do now is really about 2012 and beyond.
Okay.
You know, forgive me for saying this, but the Mayans weren't New Age shamans.
Okay.
And just as what's happened with the Bible has happened with the ancient information, including the Maya information, it's been cut and pasted to suit whoever. we have picked that date. It's not the most important date by far at all. Remember the harmonic convergence in 87?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic convergence. The difference today is that we have satellite systems and communication systems and cable systems, internet, like we never had in 87. So you've got all these history channels and everybody just making the most of distorting this information and freaking people out.
Yeah.
I've been invited very regularly since 2010 to speak to professional psychology groups and therapist groups to help them understand this because, especially in America, therapists are being flooded with clients that believe the world's going to end in 2012 because they've been watching television.
That's right.
And reading stuff on, you know, reading all this stuff on the internet, which, so I look at, okay, we've all sort of agreed to pick 2012 as sort of a pivotal moment, but the real pivotal moment's probably 2020, 2040.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with Mayans, aliens, comets hitting the planet, or plagues, by the way.
Surprise, surprise.
It has nothing to do with any of that.
Oh,
you know, but it is going to change the world in the most dramatic way imaginable. And it's going to be absolutely natural.
So if it's none of the above, then is this a self-generating correction or shift in consciousness that you're talking about?
Well, I'll give you just one piece of it that's both sobering, and I say that because a lot of us have gotten very high and giddy on higher consciousness. I mean, just giddy on it. Maybe it's time to sober up a little bit and grow up, so to speak, as spiritual beings. We are becoming the elders. Our elders are dying out.
That's true.
The elders now.
Yeah.
And we have to, and so it's up to us to carry a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of important things are happening around 2020, certainly by 2040, and that is, you know, we're hitting zero population growth everywhere around the planet. the population seems like it's growing, and it will grow, but it will stop growing very quickly. It's just like a wave that's coming. You know, the wave, the part of the wave that's coming at you looks large, but there's another part of the wave that's going back under it. And so if when you count world population right now, and it may hit somewhere around 9 billion maybe, but got to keep in mind that over half of this population is over 50 years old.
True.
Where are they going to be in 2060? They aren't going to be here. They're going to be, you know, not here. And the population will drop dramatically starting around 2040. It's already begun that process because in Gaia, you know, Gaia, this is beyond intelligence, doesn't go, oops, I think the population is too late, I ought to do something about it. No, it's way beyond that. So human beings are going to be of so much more value in the future. You know, right now, when you have too much of everything, nothing seems to have that much value.
Right.
You get spoiled, rotten.
That's right.
So we don't put much value in almost anything we have now.
That's right. You're right about that.
So, and especially humans.
No kidding.
It's like you were saying earlier, both parents have to work now, and usually the mother's salary goes to pay a stranger to raise her child.
Yep.
But that's all wrapping up now. It's one of the reasons that the people of the future just love and admire us is because us who lived in our incarnations through the Industrial Revolution gave our blood, our sweat, our tears, and our spirit to all of this. Every machine ever built has a spirit in it. Every machine ever built is a mind machine. It came from the mind.
Right.
And so we have created great spirit, another level of great spirits that will free us. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
What really freed slavery? Because slavery technically ended around 1807. It wasn't the do-gooders. It wasn't churches.
No.
It wasn't that it was wrong.
No.
And it was the machines came in 1807, and you didn't need slaves anymore to be rich. Machines freed the slaves more than anything else. Now, the machines that we have built and the spirits in these machines are going to free us into the future because we're not meant to be industrial animals anymore.
Right.
That's why, you know, and just, God, just bear this a little bit, is that there will never again in the history of the world be as many jobs as there was once before that time is over. Politicians don't want to tell you that. They know it. The church knows it, you know, think about it, and you know it too. So most of our past has been non-industrial. All of our future is non-industrial. We go into a different phase now that frees us. But I'll give you another example. You've got maybe 10,000 years, depending on who you believe, 10 to 5,000 years of heavy spiritual evolution. It still didn't free us. We still couldn't feed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We still couldn't do... bring the level up for the mass population that it is now. There are more people that have access to water now than ever before in history. More people. I do a whole workshop just on what we've accomplished at this point. So as we move into the future, we're not supposed to be industrial animals. Our machines will set us free because they'll be doing the kind of things we need done for us, and we will be going on to the next level of this new creation. It's very beautiful. It's as close as maybe one or two incarnations for most of us.
Oh, wow.
It's very close.
Does it seem as if these new creations will be consciously connected to us through the life force or through the spirit that will be able, there'll be like living machines that we'll be communicating with?
Yeah, they're already doing that. In fact, you know, you can go to Toys R Us right now and look at these new mind toys where the machines operate by your mind for the children.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're showing up there first.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And, you know, they're about $100 or more now. The price will come down. But there's all these new toys that you can get where you control it with your mind.
Ooh.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Wow.
So
it makes you want to be a kid again.
and also, for all people that believe in nasty conspiracies and all of that, it's like a lot of people I know, and forgive me for saying this, in the wellness industry, a lot of wellness thinking is illness thinking, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
You know,
that's
and the same thing with conspiracies are more powerful than the universe, more powerful than Gaia. It's just, and all these conspiracies sound way too good to be true. It's like if you really knew what was going on, you'd see what an oxymoron all this is. Like the word military intelligence. Give me a break.
Right. Exactly.
Higher consciousness. It's becoming an oxymoron.
Yeah.
You know. And so it's time to move on. And we now have acquired enough collective consciousness and enough technology, because you do need a technology in your societies to free you from labor, to free you from all the things that have made us slaves in the past, and to free us to do what Gaia wants us to do next, which is we are the birds that have to leave this planet. We will be colonizing other planets.
Wow.
And that's because every planet has a life and a death. And Gaia, on this Gaia is getting around 80 years old now.
Ooh, jeez.
In human
years. Need a cane pretty soon.
Well, there's still time, you know, plenty of time. But the thing is that we're already looking and finding thousands of other planets and solar systems now.
Well, doesn't it seem logical to you that if we were to convert all of the arms and military uses into things that were beneficial for humans, including traveling to other places and investigating the depths of the oceans and things, we'd have plenty of money for all of that?
Well, you know, there's been actual calculations on this, and, you know, the U.S. military budget is half the wealth of the world.
Just our
military budget.
That's obscene.
And if you just take one-third of that budget, we can solve every problem on planet Earth.
Right. but there's so many people that are, you know, they're all grabbing onto their little piece of the pie.
Well, there's actually, you know, surprisingly, if you really track what's going on, it seems like a lot of chaos, but the paring down of the military-industrial complex is beginning to happen, and we're not ordering new tanks, and we're not... And, you know, we can't be involved in all these wars. That's what brought Rome down, is fighting all these foreign wars simultaneously and not being able to pay for it.
Right.
You know, just with what we've put into Iraq, we could have national health care without even blinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So once we really, you know, this is all changing. It really is. And so a lot of people are very, very invested in their dogma about the military-industrial complex and the old view. What if that changes? You know, well, you've got nothing. Change to something, to a newer view. The self-correction is going on. Now, every atom in our bodies came from a star that died. Every atom, the calcium, the iron, everything in our body, in fact, everything that this planet is made of, comes from this stardust. And this universe, if one thing we know about this universe, it's self-organizing and self-correcting.
Yes.
And 100% of our bodies on this planet is made of this stuff.
Wow.
How about
interesting. That? Very interesting.
So when I say it's not only possible, heaven on earth, it's inevitable, I mean it.
Wow. Well, that is good news for everybody. That's everybody and everything.
You know,
all that is.
We live in a magic moment now, in which you know, the world has had many problems in the past, even before there were humans here. I mean, you know, comets hitting us and mass extinctions, all of that. But you look at the grand pattern has been regeneration and growing on and on to much better things. And with humans on the planet, we're actually a direct part of Gaia, and we're assisting this process of Gaia evolving.
Uh-huh.
It's not just about us. You know, before Galileo, everyone thought the Earth was the center of the universe. Well, most spiritual people today believe that humans and humans alone are the center of God's eye. Well, get over it. You know, grow up.
Right.
You know, in fact, that's my favorite adult game. It's called Get Over It. but you know, we have withstood everything the universe can throw at us, and we have just come through it fine. There have been tough times and good times, but nothing stays the same. Things will change, and everything will change.
Wow. Well, you know, I had a question from something that you said in, I think it was in the CD, that that we were, it was relating to black holes, and that the question was, what's on the other side of black hole? We are, we were reprocessed from another universe. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, I was talking, I made eight astronomical predictions over 20 years ago that have all come true now.
Oh.
I think they have a misconception, and I think they're beginning to get to it that, you know, you go to that, in the center of a black hole, you go to, you fall into another universe, or it goes to absolute zero point and all that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, you know, we see two jets coming out of black holes. We see a lot of stuff going on that we didn't see before. I predicted over 20 years ago we would be imaging dark matter, and we pretty much can do that now.
Yeah, you're right.
And dark matter is, not what, 98% of the universe?
That's right.
We couldn't
see it
until recently.
That's right. That's right. Now, also, we're moving on the planet. Now, the planet is Gaia, right?
Yes.
When you talk about Gaia, you're talking about
the whole living, the whole system.
The whole system, okay.
Yeah.
We're moving closer to the middle of the galactic plane. And at some point around 2012 or so, we're going to be crossing into the other side of it. Is that any kind of significant moment at all?
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, the Mayans didn't invent this. They didn't invent their mathematics. They inherited all of this. It's been in the stardust in our bones to know these things.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you cross over, it's called the ecliptic of the plane. When you cross over, you get into a much busier section of the arm of the galaxy that we're in.
Uh-huh.
So, and this typically causes droughts and tornadoes and all the kind of stuff we're seeing right now.
Yeah,
is actually very natural and of these long cycles, and it's a tricky part to go through. It's like being a little bit in a shooting gallery, but we've done it many times before.
Okay,
and we're crossing through it, you know, and so expect more phenomenon, things to go on, but also. The sun is getting hotter than ever. You know, the sun is getting old and cranky.
No kidding.
And we've been measuring the sun very accurately for over 100 years. And, you know, as the sun gets older, it's going to get hotter and crankier. And that's also affecting the climate on the planet right now as much or more than anything humans are doing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're well prepared for that. And it's interesting that it would happen at this time in history. And I'll just spend a second on this. You know, We are technically way overdue, thousands of years overdue for an ice age right now.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this beautiful synchronicity of humans coming up in the last 10,000 years after the last ice age, collective consciousness growing to a level it's never been at before, and the sun heating up, and then humans, from the first human fire to driving your car to work tonight, has been holding off this next ice age, because if we had an ice age right now, it'd be disastrous.
Oh, yeah.
We'd have to start all over again.
Yeah, right.
And you've got two choices. Things are either going to get warmer or they're going to get colder.
Huh.
It's not going to stay the same. The last 10,000 years have been a geological gift. It's been beautiful. It's never, you know, it's usually not this stable anyway.
It was a nice day, in other words.
Well, it gave the children of Gaia, because we are the children, birthed of Gaia, the chance to get up and running and get all the next systems ready for actually, we're the birds that have to leave this planet sooner or later. We have to leave at some point.
Wow.
Because the Earth and the sun will die at some point.
Well, now, what about the idea that the sun is... Well, a lot of people are concerned about the 2012, the maximum solar flares, and
there's
a 26,000-year cycle, and it's unraveling, and blah, blah, blah. What's your take on all that?
We've been through this many times before as a planet.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't the first time we've been through it. I think from everything I've seen, we've got a long future ahead of us, and we are destined to colonize other star systems.
That sure makes sense.
And, I never try to pop the bubble of the end of the world people, because it's a rich, juicy club to belong to. It's super juicy. Paranoia is very juicy.
That's true.
I'm not trying to convince anybody that wants to believe that. You know, it's just that if they really believe it, I don't want to stand next to them, because the sky will probably fall right on them.
Right. And as you say, that we're moving into a period of time when our thoughts will create reality.
Well, they already are.
Yes. Yeah, so If we have thoughts that are disastrous and horrific and we're focusing on the negative, then it's, and you even saw that on the other side, that people will see what they expect to see.
And the good news about this mass consciousness is that what we've got to remember is that the entire higher consciousness movement, the entire New Age movement, is a fringe element in all the consciousness on the planet.
Wow.
Oops, sorry I said that. But
that's
true.
Okay.
But the truth is that most people on the planet wake up every morning for the world. They're wanting the world to go on. They want the world to go on. This will never be overridden by a few negative prophets.
Right, right.
And a few negative clubs that believe it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's the mass consciousness, which is so far over to the positive, it's astounding. You know, the average human on planet Earth would not hurt you even if it was legal and karma-free to hurt you.
Yeah, yeah.
They would not hurt you. That is the saving grace of the planet, not higher consciousness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's astounding what strangers do for each other. They give organs. They do this. We save every kind of animal we can save. We're really quite interesting species.
Well, it's so amazing and so giving in emergencies and when there are disasters. Everybody pitches in, and we have hearts that, you know, our heart is really our greatest attribute, I think, isn't it? I mean, we love to help each other out, and we love to give. It's just in the daily fray that we get a little bit sidetracked.
And it gets a little tougher now in a way, because self-initiation requires you to grow up and take care of things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find the biggest complainers and the biggest negative people I met don't even vote. They don't even participate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to get more involved in what's going on to be self-initiate.
We have to
control our leaders. We've been very much like herding animals, and we've had kings, and we've all, you know, most of our incarnations, we've been told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And so this incarnation for a lot of people on planet Earth is the first time you've ever heard the phrase, what do you want to be when you grow up? You've never been asked that before, so it's confusing.
Yeah.
And it requires a little more work on your part.
I still haven't figured it out, and I'm 60.
Well, you know, this is one of those entree incarnations where we start thinking about things like that. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And we start getting a grip on it.
Yeah, that is important. And there are a lot of new kids that seem to have a much higher vibration, and they're much more aware than we were, perhaps, when we came in.
Well, you know, the average child born today has more information and abilities at their fingertips than Einstein could even imagine. And they're born with it.
Wow.
That's collective consciousness accumulating.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
Mellon, we're almost out of time, and I
want
I know. I looked at the clock and thought, "Oh my God, we're just getting started."
Well, let's do it again.
Yes, let's do it again. I just love talking to you, and it's so it's just so uplifting and inspiring, and that's what we really need right now. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the listeners tonight before we have to sign off?
Well, a lot of people are very interested in my inventions, which is the main talent I was given from the light. And if people want to see my latest invention, they can go to a website called lighthealthresearch.com, and you'll see one of my latest inventions to add this higher energy to people that want to get higher consciousness and regenerate.
Wonderful. And then you have a website. Do you have two other websites or just one?
Well, I have a personal website, the near-death website, which is, you know, melon-thomas.com. And even if you spell it right, you'll get there. and then, you know, I do inventions as my main form of serving the planet.
That's wonderful. Well, I encourage everybody to check into that. And I loved your CDs. And you're going to be coming out with another book, too, soon, aren't you?
Well, my first book, it's been some time in coming, but I finally decided to self-publish and not do these dances with publishers anymore, so now it might actually get out.
Oh, good. That's what I did. It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I want to do the book I want to do.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
It's much more fun that way, much more creative. Well, Mellon, thank you so much for being on tonight, and do please come back anytime
so
we can talk some more, and I just loved our chat tonight.
Well, blessings to everybody, and gosh, this world is such a beautiful place. It really is.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you again, and good night, everybody, and good night, Melon.
Good night, Gracie.
Bye. Bye.